Welcome to the first episode, the inaugural episode of The Reporter's Corner. My name is Jared Rubato. I'm the sports editor at the Bemidji Pioneer, and I cover the Bemidji State Beavers. With me is co-host Trent Singer. Trent?
How are we doing? This is awesome to finally be here at hockey season and be able to get all this done. Jared, we've talked about this all summer, and here we are. We finally got the chance to do our own show without Perry, which is all we wanted. I mean, really, that was the goal here. No, I'm just kidding.
There's still an RPI reference on the show.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And I saw your smirk, and I smirked too. And I almost brought it up, but I was like, we're not going to derail this thing. But no, awesome stuff. Awesome that we have this opportunity to do this, Jared, and to be able to work in this league, both work alongside each other and to have a great communications guy in Perry Lascaris who really has been kind of the one to greenlight a lot of this stuff for us. Awesome, super excited about this show and everything. Can you fill them in on just kind of like what the objective is and everything with this?
Yeah. So if you're listening to this on the CCHA show podcast feed, you've probably heard our voice at least once before, hopefully earlier in the week, because we were on the CCHA show, which was live on Monday. And then I think it comes out today, Tuesday, something. Who knows? But Trent and I both work for Forum Communications just in separate locations. Trent wrote for The Rink Live last year and did a brilliant job of covering the CCHA. I did mostly Bemidji State and dipped my toes in the water a little bit in the CCHA, mostly with stuff in the transfer portal and whatnot. And so over the summer, we kind of both had the idea of we wanted to do a little bit more. I think the next step for us was to get into this ourselves. And we both have pretty good rapport on the CCHA show and the other shows we've been on. But we also didn't want to just do our own version of the CCHA show. That already serves a purpose in recapping what happened the weekend before, previewing what's going to happen the next weekend. The thing that Trent and I are really passionate about is telling stories of people, and not just, players and coaches, but just people in general. And, contrary to popular belief, we do cover stuff outside of hockey, and that's my favorite thing to do, is to meet new people, tell their story. And I think, Trent's work reflects that really well as well. So kind of the idea we thought is, why don't we just do a little bit more longer form sit down interviews with players and coaches and hear about their stories? How did they get to college hockey, their path in hockey? And the first episode, you'll hear it in a second, we did an interview with Carter Ranklev, Bemidji State forward. He transferred in from Niagara. We talked everything from, how he got his start in Moorhead, playing for the Fargo Force, going through a devastating knee injury, going through the portal, and everything kind of in between. And, you learn a lot about him, and he's a really great kid, and pretty perfect first guest for the show. And so we're really excited about it. The plan is to do this weekly, have it come out Thursdays, kind of as a, with the CCHA show coming out Tuesday, we're the next up in the Thursdays. And, it's not just going to be Bemidji State Augustana focused either. It's an all encompassing thing for the whole league. We have a laundry list of guests we want to get on the show and really get to know on a little bit of a deeper level and share that with you, the listener as well. So I'm very excited about it. Like Trent said, this is months in the making. We've been talking about this since what, June, Trent?
Yeah, probably about June. I think it's kind of when it first got brought up. I think it's just it's a great opportunity to give you guys some more content. I mean, why not? We have all the ability now with just new channels and new networks and stuff in this conference. And so we hope that this can be something that everybody will enjoy. And like Jared said, just trying to get to know players a little bit more beyond the ice and know their story a little bit more, which is ultimately what we try to do as reporters in the first place. But yeah, I just think this is a great avenue to get to do it. And hope you guys are really in for a treat for this first one, because Carter Ranklev could have been a better first interview for us. So we're pretty excited about this one.
To put it in perspective, we were shooting 20, 30 minutes, and I think it went 37 minutes, and then an additional 20 minutes in the media room after that when the camera was done. So, he's a heck of a kid, and he's really well-spoken. So we can't promise there's going to be an RPI reference every one of our episodes, but Carter took the reins on that one. And so, Perry, when you're listening to this and editing it, just don't get your hopes up. So thank you guys for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow Trent on Twitter. Follow myself on Twitter. Go to the Pioneer. Go to Sioux Falls Live. I like to think we do pretty good work. And enjoy this interview with Carter Rancliffe. We are here with Carter Rancliffe, Bemidji State, one of three transfers into Bemidji State. Came from Niagara, Minnesota boy growing up. Carter, how's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah?
Yeah, just had a pretty good practice and getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, fun weekend. Season kicks off. Let's just start with kind of gelling with new team. Obviously, you played 4 years of college hockey before this, but you're kind of getting thrown into a new team, maybe some new systems. Just talk about the process so far leading up to the first game.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it seemed pretty seamless up to this point. Like the guys and the coaches are really good at, you know, making sure that everyone's on the same page, everyone understands the objective, and you know, whether that be systems, off ice, you know, team camaraderie, all those kind of things that go into a good hockey team. Bemidji does a really good job at kind of helping those guys transition into a new organization for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carter, I mean, I'm just curious, like, what are you really liking about Bemidji so far? I know you're an outdoorsy guy. Is that right? Like what are you really like enjoying just about being kind of in that area and in the town and at large?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the last 4 years I spent out of Niagara, it was a lot of hiking and doing those stuff. Or doing those things, those activities that are outside. So, you know, kind of the same atmosphere here, you know, being around the lake, you know, being able to do those things is nice, obviously. However, you know, as of right now, we haven't done a crazy amount of stuff outside. But, you know, I think for me, my main focus coming in here was to transition and obviously gel with the guys and, you know, just spend as much time around them as I can off the ice. And you know, obviously coming here to the rink every day, just putting in my 100% effort and being attentive and listening to Saratori and just trying to, you know, understand the systems, understand it and try to transition here as fastly as I can to make an impact and help the team win, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, you're probably familiar with the area growing up in Moorhead too.
Yeah.
You know, just talk about your familiarity with Bemidji before you got here.
Yeah. Obviously growing up in Moorhead, we've played Bemidji countless of times. But you know, and outside of hockey, I haven't spent a crazy amount of time in Bemidji. Obviously, you know, most of my time has been spent in the rink, but, as far as Bemidji as a whole, I've spent a decent amount of time up here. So my familiarity and you know, that kind of stuff with Bemidji as a town and all the people and stuff here in the community is pretty easy for me to transition into, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to, you know, we like to talk about the early days and stuff with a lot of players and stuff that we interview, but I'm curious, and I love asking this question to people in all sports really, but you know, what is there a moment, is there like a singular moment in your life where you really feel like you discovered and found that love for hockey?
Oh, you know, for me, it was, you know, growing up, this is kind of crazy, but, Josh Anderson, he was the captain of RPI. His mother was my babysitter and he was, you know, one of the first people that took me out and taught me how to skate and stuff. So that has stuck with me through, you know, pretty much my entire life. And I think that first few times getting on the ice, I loved skating around. You know, kind of being reckless a little bit as a kid, those kind of things. So that kind of transition obviously into what the game is now and how much of a business it is and how serious it is now. But, you know, I still have fun with it like I did when I was a little kid. So,
yeah. Did you spend your whole childhood growing up in Moorhead?
No, I actually grew up in Fergus Falls until, oh, really? Yeah, until seventh grade or eighth grade year, I moved up to Moorhead. So You know, most of my childhood years was actually spent in Fergus Falls. Yeah.
That's probably a big shift in terms of hockey culture there.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, that was the main focus in me transitioning up to Moorhead was hockey based. I wanted to put my father and me had a long discussion and countless discussions at that. And, you know, wanting to put me in a better position to succeed in hockey and actually, you know, possibly make it into a career, help me with an education when we get to college. All those kind of things were discussed at a quite a young age, to be honest with you. I don't think there are too many kids in sixth, seventh, eighth grade that are discussing about moving towns to potentially set yourself up and succeed in a sport later on in life. But for me, I was always, you know, very serious with hockey. So that discussion obviously came a little bit earlier for me. So
have you thought about how much differently your hockey career might have played out if you didn't make that move?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I haven't spent a crazy amount of time like dwelling on it or anything, but I obviously there are those other side of things where, you know, if you don't make those big decisions, what ifs or how life would have planned out in general. You know, for me, I'm very grateful for Moorhead and how much they accepted me and brought me in there and really taught me the game and you know, kind of expanded my skills and understanding of the game for sure. So,
and one more about Moorhead too, but just that is a crazy hockey culture, especially at the high school level.
Yeah.
It's kind of trap passed down success year after year. What was it like being on the inside of that?
It's intense, honestly. It's intense, but it's also, you know, a lot of fun because you're around guys that have the same goals as you. You know, they want to succeed. They want to have success in Moorhead. Moorhead is known for succeeding in hockey. Unfortunately, not winning hockey in Moorhead yet. But, you know, I can see with how serious they are and how well they do at, you know, developing their players, even in the youth organization as well. You know, I can foresee them continuing to have success, you know, for a very long time there.
Yeah.
That 2016-17 season, though, can you – I mean, what was that run for you like? You guys made it to the state championship game and, you know, probably one of the better runs that Moorhead's really ever made, and you guys ended up ultimately losing to Grand Rapids, a game you had a great impact into with a goal and an assist. I mean, just what was that run like for you? And in terms of really just kind of showing you in a lot of ways, you know, what team hockey and that culture is like.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that year for me was a massive part of, you know, my individual career and how much I realized, you know, it takes a lot to win in hockey, even at the high school level. It also, you know, building those or having those memories with my teammates and stuff is something that's going to last with me forever. So just, you know, the mix between, you know, having fun with the guys and being able to create all those memories, but also at the same time playing at a high level and, you know, succeeding throughout the season, those two things kind of gelled really well for me. And I think it kind of gave me a better understanding of what hockey really should be. And that's to have fun with your friends. At the end of the day, even though at this level, it is a business and it's super serious, I think it's important to make sure you're still having fun in the game and make sure you're still enjoying all the little things. But at the same time, those things teach you how to win, and they teach you and, you know, they kind of make you understand what actually, you know, goes into a win, especially at this level, because it's really difficult to win consistently.
What was it like skating on the ice for that championship game for the first time, seeing that crowd?
Yeah, I still, you know, to this day, that's probably one of the most like shocking or the awe moment for me in hockey, just going out there and seeing that many people. I think, you know, especially in high school too, you're still a kid. You're still, you know, living the dream of what, you know, hockey is, especially in Minnesota. It's such a massive deal. So for me, that moment is, you know, going to be stuck in my head forever. And, you know, those are the moments that you kind of live for. And it's super cool to be able to experience something like that at such a young age, because, you know, a lot of kids that don't necessarily grow up in Minnesota won't experience something like that unless they make it to the NHL one day or a big professional organization. So, you know, to experience that at such a young age is, you know, it's something that I'll never forget about for sure.
Yeah. And I got asked too, because to get to state, you got to go through Section 8.
Yeah.
And when over the summer, you told me a story about how you played against Brainerd and they threw pennies on the walkway.
Yeah.
As one of those traditional Section 8 rods.
Oh, yeah.
Walk me through that again.
Yeah. I mean, there's been countless of, you know, little things like that to try to get under our skin. Pennies, you know, potatoes thrown on the ice after starting lineup. Guys have had, you know, slushies dumped on them, you know, all sorts of things that you couldn't even imagine that would happen in a sport, especially like hockey with glass and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's kind of all happened to us. And, you know, now I laugh at the stuff, but at the time as a little kid, you get pretty upset over those little things like that. You're like, what the heck? And you know, honestly, it kind of fires you up and makes you go out there and play a little bit harder on those big edged games like that. So,
yeah,
I think it's really unique that you ultimately got the chance to play junior hockey just right up the road. You know, the next year you left early and joined a team, got to be a part, you know, of a Clark Cup championship. But just how special was that?
Yeah. You know, again, before going back to high school, I think playing with Fargo, it just taught me that next level. I felt like, you know, kind of throughout high school and, you know, into juniors and stuff, that helped me transition between juniors and high school. And it taught me how serious hockey, you know, gets at each level that you go up that little pyramid. So to be able to go to Fargo and learn with them and, you know, I had some amazing coaches there. Some of, you know, to this day, some of my better coaches that I've had in my life, taught me a lot of things about hockey, you know, gave me a ton of opportunities to succeed and, you know, kind of flourish as a player. So, and also to be able to do that out of my back doors is something that I'll forever be grateful for. And, you know, I think it's such a unique experience, especially in juniors where a lot of kids are not able to, you know, stay at home and go to their hometown high school, but also still go with their junior team. So I think that for me is something that I'll never take for granted. And I'll forever be grateful for.
When you grow up in the Fargo-Moorhead area, you know, or at least from, you know, the time you moved there to the point where now you're playing for the Force, just talk about the interaction between that team, the community and the fan base. Cause it's a pretty passionate fan base. They got.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, the community was such a massive part. You know, hockey in Moorhead is huge, but it's also massive in Fargo too. And when you can join those two communities together, it's you know, a pretty unique feeling to experience night in and night out, especially with a team like Fargo. You know, they never have, you know, little fans or no fans by any means. They always pack the building. They're always, you know, supporting the team. And, you know, as a player playing for an organization like that and to have continuous support from your community is such a massive thing. And I think it really helps you, you know, succeed. And I think that's why, you know, in Fargo, the few years that I was there, we succeeded so much is, you know, the community was always supporting us. They always had massive, you know, special event nights, all those kind of things. It makes the experience a lot more fun, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've talked about it a little bit with Jared, but that was that first full season was a really, really big one. Just in terms of the trajectory of your career in a lot of ways, and, you know, things work out in really weird ways. And I know, you know, you tore your ACL that first season is sort of the story. And, you know, just talk to me about working through that. I mean, what was it really like and how were you able to really just kind of get through a lot of that? And I know mentally it was a really big block for you in a lot of ways.
Yeah. You know, when you're playing sports, any sports, not even just hockey in general, but at sports at a high level, you're bound to encounter mental roadblocks or physical roadblocks or whatever it is. But I think that your love for your sport that you're playing is such a massive piece of that. And if you truly do love it, then, you know, the recovery might suck physically. It might suck mentally at times, but, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what I kept telling myself that, you know, I'm going to come back, you know, better and obviously a little bit physically stronger from, you know, focusing on those you know, physical roadblocks as well. But, you know, I think it just kind of teaches you adversity and, you know, people find adversity through many different ways. Whether that's injuries, you know, mental things or things that are happening in their personal life. So for me, obviously, it was the physical roadblock of an injury. But I think that those skills are things that you can't necessarily teach. And whether it comes through sports, you're bound to also encounter them in real life, too, not just with sports. So I think for me, I was kind of blessed to go through that and understand what it's like to, you know, kind of battle through something and find a way back. And like I said, too, if you really love something, you're going to do it. So for me, it was tough at times, but at the same time, it really was no question what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. So
when you think back to, you know, the 1, 2, 3 year period where you're kind of still going through that stuff, whether it is physically or mentally, how long did it take you to kind of get the perspective you have now of, hey, you know, maybe it didn't work out the play that I thought it was going to work out, but I'm blessed in the way that it did work out.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I it's tough to set a, you know, a timeline, I guess, on it, because, you know, even now I can still look back at it and be like, you know, dang. But at the same token, it's, you know, I'm grateful for how it kind of all worked out, and everyone's road to where they get is, you know, it might be a straight line, it might be a bunch of curves in there. And for me, unfortunately, it was a bunch of curves. But, you know, like I said, I wouldn't change it for anything. I'm grateful for all the people that I've met along the way, all the organizations I've played with, you know, all the mental adversity that I've had to go through. And that just kind of helps me down the road, too. So, you know, for me, I struggled with it for a little bit. But, you know, I had a great support system. I had great people around me to kind of help me get through those, you know, difficult times that, you know, that come with an injury like that. So,
yeah.
What can you say about, you know, ultimately, and, you know, I know the story is that you were originally planning to go to UND, and then that scholarship got pulled, and you eventually made your way to Niagara. You know, walk me through, what was that decision? What went into that decision to go to Niagara and play under Coach Lammers?
Yeah. You know, honestly, at the time, you know, me and North Dakota, we parted ways pretty late into my AJO year. So I think that in itself, you know, closes some windows, and it makes the decision process to find a school a little bit more difficult than, you know, if you were to do it when you're 18, 19 and you have a little bit more time. So I think that was one of the, you know, factors that went into it. But at the same time, you know, Lammers, he showed interest in me. He, you know, appreciated me for who I was, even though I had a big injury. You know, he was willing to take a chance on me, and you know, he's someone that I'll forever be grateful for, and all the, you know, support and, you know, coaching that he gave me through my 4 years and really helped me kind of get back to where I knew I could be and where I wanted to be. So, you know, for him to take that chance, unlike a lot of other coaches, it really showed a lot to me and showed me the character that he had. So, you know, I kind of had to put my trust back into him and telling him that I wanted to go there. And, you know, at the same time too, I'd never been away from home. I, you know, in high school, juniors, like we talked about, my experience was at home with my family. So it was kind of a chance for me to kind of venture out to New York and, you know, get out on my own and grow up a little bit as a human as well. So, I think for me, all in all, it was a great experience. And, you know, that's a massive step in my journey. So, Niagara is always going to be a part of me, but, you know, now we've found our way back here, and, you know, Bemidji is my next focus and what I want to put everything that I have into.
When you were at Niagara, you did get to play against North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I know the common cliche, right, is, oh, you treat it like any other game.
Right.
There's no way that you could actually treat that like any other game. So talk to me about what it was like going into that mentally.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no matter what league you're playing in or what division you're playing in college hockey, it's, you know, no one's dumb. They all know what teams are good and what teams have the great players and, you know, ultimately what teams are going to be more difficult than others. However, you know, mentally, I think that as cliche as it is, you kind of do have to go into it like every other game. Obviously, just with a little bit more focus on certain aspects of the game. Mm-hmm. So I think with North Dakota, that was our goal. You know, obviously they have guys that are drafted. We don't. So that, you know, little things like that, it makes the game a little bit more difficult, but, you know, there are plenty of underdog teams that have beat, you know, great teams before. So I think with us, that was our focus in every game at Niagara, is no matter who we were playing, we were going to play the same way. We were going to have the same goals. We were always going to give 100% effort and just, you know, kind of let it play out.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at your numbers, Carter, it's like you go from 8 to 24 points from sophomore to junior year, and obviously that's ice time, right? Like ice time plays a lot into that. But I'm curious to know, was there something specific that was you feel like was like a big difference that made, you know, maybe just like a boost in confidence, or what was the biggest difference between that sophomore and that junior year for you personally that you were able to kind of take that big step?
Yeah. You know, COVID was kind of still there a little bit too. I think that was a big factor. Obviously, my freshman year was, you know, a little bit more affected by COVID sophomore year. But it was also just, you know, my focus and attention to everything. And, you know, my drive after COVID, after a leg injury, it was really difficult my freshman year. And my sophomore year, I didn't really play a whole lot at the beginning of the year. And then we had a few injuries, and I was able to get in the lineup my sophomore year around Christmas time. And, you know, I found myself on the power play, those little things. And, you know, I kind of told myself that this is, you know, this could be one of my last chance to really make an impact on a team and really kind of go the way that I've been wanting to ever since the injury, you know, kind of as a whole throughout my whole hockey career. Like I said, too, there's been definite curves throughout that process. But, you know, I think for me, it was just a matter of, you know, really wanting it and really wanting to show people that I can still play hockey, especially at the Division I level. So I think taking that opportunity around Christmas time and just running with it kind of built trust within the coach too, allowed me more ice time, you know, allowed me the power play, those kind of things that ultimately in a game help out, you know, with point production too. So
when you and I talked over the summer, you talked about how you still have so much love for Niagara, the people there, the people that helped you get to where you are today. You know, just talk about that a little bit more and really, you know, the school that took a chance on you, the coaching staff that took a chance on you, and just how thankful you are for them and what they gave you the last 4 years.
Yeah. You know, obviously the chance to play Division I hockey and live out my dream is the very top of that list. I think for any kid growing up, especially for me in Minnesota, where hockey is such a massive deal, my main goal was to get an education and play at the highest level in college. And everything was looking great, and then everything was not looking great. So it was really a 180 flip. But for me, it was, you know, Niagara took their chance on me. They not only took their chance on me in juniors, but, you know, through COVID too, they trusted in me that I can help their team win. I can, you know, produce offensively, help them defensively, whatever that is. They trusted in me throughout that whole process. They were willing to communicate with me. They were, you know, all in all, my experience at Niagara was amazing. And, you know, that's just the hockey side of things. And then you go to the people around Niagara. Every time I came home in the summer, you know, I'd be here for a month, maybe a month and a half. And, you know, boom, I'd be willing to or kind of wanting to get back out there. And I think a large part of that was just the people that are around there. They were so happy. You built connections with people, you know, not only in the hockey world, but, you know, kids in your classes, kids on other sports teams, those kind of things. And that's what I love about Bemidji too, is it's kind of a small knit school. You kind of, you know, you get to know people a little bit quicker than as if you were at a, you know, a Big Ten school or a bigger school. And for me, I think that I succeed in a place like that, and building those relationships with those people, it really kind of, you know, fuels me, whether it's on the ice, off the ice, whatever it is. So, I think that, you know, that was such a massive part of Niagara.
Yeah.
Can you sort of walk me through just what those early stages were? I mean, when you were in the portal and when I guess that connection with Bemidji State was first made, I mean, you know, how did that recruiting process sort of work for you?
Yeah. For me, I don't have an agent. I don't have an advisor. So I was kind of doing everything on my own. And to be quite honest with you, I really wanted it to be that way. Because I know what's best for me, and I can look out what's best for me, and you know, all those kind of things. So I think that was a massive part of the whole process, because I know a lot of people, they have, you know, other people vouching for them or communicating with other schools or all those kind of things for them. But for me, I really just wanted to embrace the whole process of it. And you know, for me, it was pretty hectic. It's scary at the same time, because I went in there with no, you know, kind of unknowns, I guess. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't really have an idea of who, you know, may want me to come and play with them for a year, try to help their team win, those kind of things. So I think the whole process was quite hectic. And then obviously some calls started coming in, and I knew I wanted ideally to come as close to home as possible. I mean, my family's only seen me play 3 times in person in 4 years out at Niagara. So that was such a, you know, a massive part of my whole decision-making process throughout this whole thing. And obviously to try to go up in the world of hockey too in college, try to play for a better coach, not a better coach physically, but, you know, just, I think Tom has so much to offer here. He has so much experience, and, you know, just kind of building those relationships with, you know, another coach and learning from him. And obviously Bemidji has, you know, countless of success here, and just kind of push myself on the ice was another massive part of the whole process too.
I think another thing, at least what you said over the summer, is you know education is such a big part of your focus in playing college hockey. You know, it's not it's not hockey first, education second. Those are right there next to each other. You know, how much did that play into your decision, you know, along with the family stuff and wanting to move closer to home?
Yeah. You know, for me, I'm the first person in my entire family to go to college as well. So I think to have the opportunity to not only get your bachelor's degree, but to get a master's degree too, and to play a sport while you're doing all of that is such a massive piece. So I think that was another a big thing to be able to get my master's and be close to home and play for such a great organization. I mean, you're killing three birds with one stone there in my book. So, yeah, I think, you know, as much as people want to say that hockey and athletics is super important, which it is, but I also think that the, you know, academic side is, you know, equally as important to succeed, not only in hockey, but after life too, because you are going to have to do something when hockey is done. So, yeah. To have those, you know, degrees to kind of fall back on is a big part.
And one more quick thing about your family, what was the reaction like when you officially told them that you were going to Bemidji State, moving closer to home?
Ecstatic.
Yeah.
I think is the proper word for that. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't be more happy. They're going to be able to see me play more in just 1 year than they have. To be able to experience that in my last year of college is super special.
So. Yeah.
You know, you're a 5'8" guy. You're 163 pounds. At least that's what Elite Prospects is telling me, Carter. But I'm curious. You know, how would you personally describe your game? I mean, how do you, you know, people obviously who are listening to this probably haven't seen you play before. But you know, how do you describe the way you play and really really what you bring to the table for this team?
You know, for me growing up, I was never obviously the biggest. I'm still not even close to the biggest. So, you know, I would definitely not say a power forward or anything like that. But there are pieces in hockey that the little guys can succeed in. And, you know, for me growing up, I focused on those things that, you know, the Martin St. Louis, those kind of guys and why they succeeded in, you know, the National Hockey League and why they were so good. And, you know, I worked on my shot, stick handling, those kind of things. And I would like to view myself as more of a skilled player. And I think a big part of my game too is my hockey IQ, being able to see plays that maybe not everyone can see and maybe see them a little bit quicker than someone else can see. And also just being intelligent, you know, around the ice and where I know I'm going to be able to get the puck and all those kind of things play into it because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to out-muscle too many guys on the ice, but I can outsmart them. So, you know, in order to succeed, especially at college and, you know, any level after college is for me, I'm going to have to be smarter than them. I'm going to have to maybe be a little bit quicker at times. And, you know, just get myself in the right areas to put myself in the proper areas to succeed, I guess.
And you're moving into a team that is coming off of a championship season. You know, talk about moving into this culture and, you know, obviously you want, like you talked about the culture that Tom's built over the years, right? But you're coming into a situation with guys who want to do it again. You know, what do you feel like you can provide to that culture and bring some stuff in on your own?
Yeah. You know, I think our team has an insane amount of depth, which is such a big piece of a team that wants to succeed and wants to win championships. So, you know, being able to provide more depth to the team, you know, being a fifth year, I do have, you know, college experience and what it takes to play at this level too. So just trying to be a leader, you know, I don't care about letters for me. I think that there are guys that can still lead whether they have a letter or not. So, you know, just trying to provide a good example to the younger guys, whether that's, you know, in the weight room, being a smaller guy, but still working hard, you know, whether that be on the ice, doing the right things, listening to coach, those kind of things is such a big part of, you know, building a tradition and building a culture that is willing to, you know, continuous or to win continually. So I think that's a big piece for me. And obviously if I can help the team win, whether that be points or blocking shots or playing defense or whatever it really is, you know, I'm willing to do it. I think for me, and that's what I've kind of lacked a little bit over the 4 years is, you know, at Niagara, we never really won. We never, you know, got over the hump. So, I want to be a part of a team that's going to win and, you know, get me as far as I can in the postseason. So, anything that I can do to help a team get there, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there is a correlation here, but I find it interesting. You know, I cover Augustana. There's a guy who played at Augustana last year who played at Niagara along with you. I'm sure you're familiar with Ryan Namofsky. Yep. Similar kind of player, similar style of player. Is there a relationship there? Do you know Ryan at all? And
I do know Ryan. Yeah, we call him Numo. Yeah,
Numo. Yep.
He's an awesome dude. I had the pleasure to play with him a little bit on a line. He thinks the game very similar to me. We play quite similarly. He might be a little bit taller, but you know, physically we're pretty similar. So I've had a lot of experience with Numo, and I've had the pleasure to learn from him too, because he was a little bit older than me. So to be able to come into Niagara and kind of see him and see how he plays and see how he sees the game, he's just another piece in the whole journey of getting me to where I am today too, for sure.
Have you seen that guy throw back some Mountain Dews? That's what I hear.
Occasionally, yeah. Occasionally, yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
I hear he loves his sodas, man. It's wild to me too, because I mean, he was the top point getter last year, but he loves Mountain Dew. That's what I've heard.
I mean, it works for some people. I've known guys that kill pizzas, whatever you can think of. I mean, I've probably seen it. So there's some crazy guys that have crazy diets, but if it works for them, hey. I mean, no. I'm pretty sure that there's a rumor about Ovechkin having Coke in his, water bottle.
Yes.
Well, I've heard the same thing. I think, some other guys can too, but.
No Coke in your water bottle?
Yeah, not mine. No, I'm more of a Powerade guy. Okay.
Yeah. I want to ask you this too, because now that you've gone through the process of going in the portal, obviously you said you kind of went into it with yourself, representing yourself. Did you ever think, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when you started playing juniors, this would be the way that college hockey is now? And just how much has it changed since the first time you got recruited to now you're being recruited as a graduate student?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique to say the least. Growing up, it was, you get scouted by teams, you commit to a team, and, you go play some junior hockey, and then you're going to go into that team. But nowadays with, having the transfers, having the grad students, it changes, it sculpts everything a little bit differently. Kids, maybe are having a little bit more difficulty finding teams because those, the fifth years are taking up some more roster spots, whatever it may be. But, at the end of the day, for me, I couldn't be more thankful for the portal, yeah. Obviously, I ended up here, everything in my eyes has worked out to a T. Even though, it might not have been a straight line, like I said earlier, mm-hmm. but, I'm beyond grateful to be here. There's the guys here are unbelievable. I'm going to have friendships here. The coaches are unbelievable. It's a amazing hockey culture. I'm back in the state of hockey. I'm close to my family. You could say that just about every single one of my boxes have been checked here. So, it has changed hockey, but for me, it's been for the better. Yeah. So, it's pretty crazy with how everything is now, honestly.
Yeah.
So you're a criminal justice major, is that right?
Yeah, my bachelor's was, or my undergrad was criminology, and now I'm doing my MBA here.
Awesome. Yeah, so like, is there any certain plans that you sort of have post-college that you're really kind of eyeing, or?
I would like to play hockey as long as
right.
But after that, so with my academics, my whole kind of focus with, having an undergrad in criminology, I've always been interested in criminal justice. I've always been interested in the CSI shows, those kind of things. And that was my, passion in my undergrad. So I went through with it. I got my degree in it. But, by the time that I was graduating, there wasn't, one job or one thing that really stuck out with me that, I said that I want to do this. This is what I want to do when I'm done, playing hockey, whenever that is. So coming into grad school, I had obviously a big decision to make whether I wanted to kind of dive deeper into the criminal justice world and specify or get more specific on that degree, or, kind of branch off and allow myself different opportunities for whenever hockey is done, whether that be business, criminal justice, pairing them together, just allowing myself more options. So I would say as of right now, there's not one thing that I'm specifically set on doing after, whenever hockey is done or whenever college is done, I guess. So for me, I think just doing my MBA and getting, as many routes as I can to help myself succeed in the real world is definitely my focus right now.
I only have one more question, but I'm curious what you think, because you played at Moorhead, you played for the Force, you've played 4 years in college. There's a lot of hockey talent that you've gotten to play with. Who is the best player you played on a line with?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
He probably played like a pickup game with Matt Cullen, so I don't know if this counts.
I have played with Matt Cullen, but he's on a line with.
On a line with.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Man, on a line with. It's got to be a forward.
You can pick like a power play. You pick a defenseman if you
okay.
want.
Okay. Man, it's got to probably be someone here. I would probably say, gosh, there's three guys here that I think are like three of the most skilled players I've probably ever played with.
All right, just say, you can say all three.
It's got to be Yeri, Marty, and Jutz. Okay. For me, those three guys are, you know, great role models for me to try to come into this program and kind of sculpt my game after. So I would have to say those three guys.
It's going to help on the room too.
Yeah.
Well, get some brownie
I wasn't
points.
Really thinking about that, but truthfully, they are three of the more, you know, if not the most skilled players I've ever played with. So,
yeah.
I got one more for you too. I mean, I always like asking this question, but just at the pro level, are there any guys that you know, really like to watch and you're just fascinated by that? Just like maybe you even try to model your game after a little bit, but just some favorite players at the pro level.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, my all-time favorite player is no longer still playing, but Pavel Datsyuk growing up was ideally the number one guy that I always tried to watch. You know, he did some things that I don't even know how he does it, but I think all around was probably one of the better players for me to sculpt my game after. He wasn't the most, you know, physical guy, wasn't the biggest guy on the ice, but was so smart, so intelligent, so good with the puck. And I would also have to probably say Patrick Kane. I mean, that's, yeah. I feel like a lot of kids that are small, he's got to be a guy that you sculpt your game after, and how can he not? You know, he's been a part of so many winning teams, and there's a reason for, you know, him winning all the championships and Stanley Cups and everything that he's done. So, yeah, I would say those two guys.
And I actually thought one more.
All right.
Thinking back to high school, you can't say Moorhead. What's the best rink you played in high school? There's so many good ones in Minnesota.
There's a lot of good ones. My favorite rink was Roseau.
Really?
I love the old wood, the old feeling of, you know, all the, you know, people that have come through. Obviously, it's cold up there. It is, you know, a lot of people argue that point, but I just love the old school rinks and, you know, all the culture and all the history in those rinks. I think it's so fascinating that, you know, those teams still play in those rinks. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously being an 8AA that, you know, we played Roseau quite a bit. We were up there, but I would probably have to say Roseau.
So it's not the X?
Consider the X. Obviously, it's got to be that, but I don't consider that necessarily a high school ring. Just the tourney.
Yeah. All right. Well, Trent, you got anything else?
I think that's it, man. Carter, it's been an awesome chat, man. I really appreciate you coming on and talking with
Thank
us.
You guys, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
Seriously,
this is great. Thank you so much, and best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate it. Take care.